in the marketplace of Speisesau, the capital of the Grand Duchy of Pfennig-Halbpfennig. It is the summer of 1750. Seated outside an inn are the members of the local theatrical company, which is managed by one Ernest Dummkopf. They are enjoying a repast in honor of the nuptials of Ludwig, his leading comedian, and Lisa, his soubrette.
Not late.
Well, hello, Dr. Tannhäuser.
But dear me, you're all at breakfast. Has the wedding taken place? My good girls, one at a time, I beg. Let me understand the situation. As solicitor to the conspiracy to dethrone the Grand Duke, a conspiracy in which the members of this company are deeply involved, I am invited to the marriage of two of its members. I present myself in due course, and I find not only that the ceremony has taken place, which is not of the least consequence, but the wedding breakfast is half eaten, which is a consideration of the most serious importance.
But the ceremony has not taken place. We can't get a parson.
Can't get a parson? Why, how's that there, Freer Fenwick?
Oh, it is the old story. The Grand Duke.
Oh, him.
It seems that the little imp has selected this, our wedding day, for a convocation of all the clergy in the town to settle the details of his approaching marriage with the enormously wealthy Baroness von Krakenfeld, and there won't be a parson to be had for love or money until 6 o'clock this evening.
And that we'd produce our magnificent classical revival of Troilus and Cressida tonight at 7, we've no alternative but to eat our wedding breakfast before we've earned it. So sit down and make the best of it. Oh, I should like to pull his grand ducal ears for him, that I should. He's the meanest, the cruelest, the most spiteful little ape in Christendom. Well, we shall soon be freed from his tyranny. Tomorrow the despot is to be dethroned.
Hush, rash girl. Know ye not that in alluding to our conspiracy, without having first given and received the secret sign, you are violating a fundamental principle of our association?
By the mystic regulation of our dark association, ere you open conversation with another kindred soul, you must eat a sausage roll. Turn he eats another, that's a sign that he's a brother. Each may fully trust the other, it is great and it is dull, but it's bilious on the whole.
It's a greedy kind of pasty, which perhaps a judgment hasty might consider rather tasty. Once to speak without disguise, it found favor in our eyes. But when you've been 6 months feeding, as we have on this exceeding bilious food, it's no ill breeding if at these repulsive pies our offended gorge is wrong.
Until I'm quite uncomfortable. I've given it 6 times already today, and I can't eat any breakfast. And it's so unwholesome. Why, we should all be as yellow as frogs if it wasn't for the makeup.
All this is rank treason to the cause. I suffer as much as any of you. I loathe the repulsive thing. I can't contemplate it without a shudder. But I'm a conscientious conspirator, and if you won't give the sign, I will.
Poor Martyr. He's always at it. It's a wonder where he puts it.
Well, now, about Troilus and Cressida. What do you play?
If you will be so obliging as to wait until I've got rid of this feeling of warm oil at the bottom of my throat, I'll tell you all about it.
And brandy, Ludwig?
Thank you, my love. Thank you. It's gone. Well, Troilus and Cressida will be produced upon a scale of unexampled magnificence. It is confidently predicted that my appearance as King Agamemnon in a Louis XIV wig will mark an epoch in the theatrical annals of Fenwick have Fenwick. I endeavored to persuade Ernest Dumkopf, our manager, to lend us the classical dresses for our marriage. Think of the effect of a real Athenian wedding procession cavorting through the streets of Spicestown. Torches burning, cymbals banging, flutes tootling, citherae twanging, and a throng of 50 lovely Spartan virgins capering before us all down the high street, singing, Eloia, Eloia, Apoponax, Eloia. It would have been tremendous.
And he declined?
He did, on the prosaic ground that it might rain, and the ancient Greeks did not carry umbrellas. If, as is confidently expected, Ernest Dumkopf is elected to succeed the dethroned one, mark my words, he will make a mess of it. Come, Lisa.
Ernest is sure to be elected. Our entire company has promised to plump for him on the understanding that all the places about the court are filled by members of his troop, according to professional precedent.
Here comes Ernest Dunlop. Now we shall know all about it. Well, you
knew. Oh, it's a certainty, a practical certainty. Two of the candidates have been arrested for debt, and the third is a baby in arms. So, if you keep your promises and vote solid, I'm cocksure of election.
Cocksure? But you remember the conditions?
Yes, all of you shall be provided for life. Every man shall be ennobled. Every lady shall have unlimited credit at the court milliner's. And all salaries shall be paid weekly in advance.
It's quite clear he knows how to rule a grand duchy.
Rule a grand duchy? Why, my good girl, for 10 years past, I've ruled a theatrical company. A man who can do that can rule anything.
Were I a king in very truth, and had a son, a guileless youth, in probable succession, to teach him patience, teach him tact, how from sin a fix to act, he should adopt in point of fact a man at his profession. To that condition he should suit, despite his proof and mother, with 8 or 10 stars in his group, all jealous of each other, all jealous of each other. The man who can rule a theatrical group, each member a genius and some a vet, can manage to humor them early and late, can govern the company day.
The man who can rule a
light. They say they'll be all right at night. They vote to go to school yet. Any Jack must change her dress. D will attempt to square the press. He won't play Romeo unless his grandmother plays Juliet. Their claims are hoydened as her right. He paid them 30 seasons, and D must show herself in sight. For 2 convincing reasons, to very well take reason. For the man who can find a theatrical with wheelers and leaders in order to be, can govern and rule with a wave of his fist, for Europe with Holland for me.
For the man who can find a theatrical with wheelers and leaders in order to be, can govern and rule with a wave of his fist.
Elected by my fellow conspirators to be Grand Duke of Fenig House Fenig as soon as the contemptible little occupant of the historical throne is deposed. Here is promotion indeed. Why, instead of playing Troilus of Troy for a month, I shall play Grand Duke of Fenig House Fenig for a lifetime. Yes, am I happy? No, far from happy. The lovely English comedian, the beautiful Julia, whose dramatic ability is so overwhelming that our audiences forgive even her strong English accents. That rare and radiant being treats my respectful advances with disdain unutterable. And yet, who knows? She is haughty and ambitious, and it may be that the splendid change in my fortunes may work a corresponding change in her feelings towards me.
Herr Dunkopf, a word with you, if you please.
Beautiful English maiden.
No compliments, I beg. I desire to speak with you on a purely professional matter. So we will, if you please, dispense with allusions to my personal appearance, which can only tend to widen the breach which already exists between us. Oh,
my only hope shattered. The haughty Londoner still despises me. It shall be as you will.
I understand that the conspiracy in which we are all concerned is to develop tomorrow, and that the company is likely to elect you to the throne on the understanding that the posts about the court are to be filled by members of your theatrical troupe, according to their professional importance.
That is so.
Then all I can say is that it places me in an extremely awkward position.
I don't see how it concerns you.
Why, bless my heart, don't you see that as your leading lady, I'm bound under a serious penalty to play the leading part in all your productions?
Well?
Why, of course, the leading part in this production will be the Grand Duchess.
My wife.
That is another way of expressing the same idea.
I scarcely dared even to hope for this.
Of course, as your leading lady, you'll be mean enough to hold me to the terms of my agreement. Oh, that's so like a man. Well, I suppose there's no help for it. I shall have to do it.
She's mine. But do you really think you would care to play that part?
Care to play it? Certainly not. But what am I to do? Business is business, and I'm bound by the terms of the agreement.
It's for a long run, mind, a run that may last many, many years. No understudy, and once embarked upon, there's no throwing it up.
Oh, we are used to these long runs in England. They're the curse of the stage. But you see, I've no option.
You think the part of Grand Duchess will be good enough for you?
Oh, I think so. It's a very good part in Gerolstein, and oughtn't to be a bad one in Fenwick Halfpenny. Why? What did you suppose I was going to play?
But considering your strong personal dislike to me and your persistent rejection of my repeated offers, won't you find it difficult to throw yourself into the part with all the impassioned enthusiasm that the character seems to demand? Remember, it's a strongly emotional part, involving long and repeated scenes of rapture, tenderness, adoration, devotion, all in luxuriant excess. Of all the most demonstrative description.
My good sir, throughout my career I have made it a rule never to allow private feeling to interfere with my professional duties. You may be quite sure that, however distasteful the part may be, if I undertake it, I shall consider myself professionally bound to throw myself into it with all the ardor at my command.
I'm the happiest fellow alive. Now, would you have any objection to... to give me some idea, if it's only a mere sketch as to how you would play it, it would be really interesting to me to know your conception of the part of my wife.
How I would play it? Now, let me see. Let me see. Ah, I have it. How would I play this part? The grand duke bride, all rancor in my heart, I'd duly arrive. I drive it from my recollection, and when the wizard of mock affection will calculate it to defy defection, that's how I play this part. The grand duke bride, with many a wink and smile, I'd wish and walk with gay and girlish guile, I frighten you. I'd madden you with my caresses, like that love was not confessing. Yet it was not no mortal word me guessing. With so much wink and wile, I'd wish and any other maid with you succeed? I'd pinch the forward jade, I would indeed. With jealous frenzy agitated, which would of course be stimulated. I'd make a wish it's never been created. I'd make a wish it's never been created. I'd make a wish it's never been created. Did any other maid with you succeed? Then should there come to thank you.
the rise of the curtain. As though them tilting to their past, the curse is more certain. What should I do? What was this dreadful situation? I thought I don't know where to go. It put me into such a set. Now this is all events. I know the sooner we are off the better. Yes, the sooner off the better. What means this agitato? What do you seek? As your grand duke elect, I feed you speak. 10 minutes since I met a chap who bowed at easy salutation. Thinks I, this gentleman, may have belonged to our association. But on the whole, uncertain, yet a sausage roll I took. And at that chap replied, I don't embellish by eating free with obvious relish. Then reassured, I let him know our plotted incident explaining. This stranger chuckled much as though he thought me highly entertaining. I told him all, both bad and good. I bade him call, he said he would. I added much, some more, I muttered the more. That chuckling tummy chuckled. To his applause, down dropped he with his hysteric fellow. And that seemed right enough, because I am a devilish funny fellow. Then suddenly, as still he squealed, it flashed on me that I'd revealed our plot with all details effective to Grand Duke Rudolph's own detective.
Well, a nice mess you've got us into. There's an end to our precious plot. All up, pop, fizzle, punk, done for.
Yes, but fancy my choosing the Grand Duke's private detective of all men to make a confidant of. When you come to think of it, it's really devilish funny.
When you come to think of it, it's extremely injudicious to admit into a conspiracy every pudding-headed baboon who presents himself.
Yes, I should never do that. If I were chairman of this gang, I should hesitate to enroll any baboon who couldn't produce satisfactory credentials from his last zoological garden.
Ludwig is far from being a baboon. Poor boy, he couldn't help giving us away. It's his trusting nature. He was deceived.
His trusting nature. Oh, I should like to talk to you in my own language for 5 minutes. Only 5 minutes. I know some good, strong, energetic English remarks that would shrivel your trusting nature into raisins. Only you wouldn't understand them.
Here we perceive one of the disadvantages of a neglected education.
And I suppose you'll never be my Grand Duchess now.
Grand Duchess? My good friend, if you don't produce the piece, how can I play the part?
True. You see what you've done?
But, my dear sir, you don't seem to understand that the man ate 3 sausage rolls. Keep that fact steadily before you. 3 large sausage rolls.
Oh, lots of people eat sausage rolls who are not conspirators.
Then they shouldn't. It is bad form. It is not the game. When one of the human family proposes to eat a sausage roll, it is his duty to ask himself, am I a conspirator? And if, on examination, he finds that he is not a conspirator, he is bound in honor to select some other form of refreshment.
Of course he is. One should always play the game. What are you grinning at, you greedy old man?
Nothing, don't mind me. It is always amusing to the legal mind to see a parcel of laymen bothering themselves about a matter which to a trained lawyer presents no difficulty whatever.
No difficulty?
None whatever. The way out of it is quite simple.
Simple?
Certainly. Now, attend. In the first place, you 2 men fight a statutory duel.
A statutory duel?
A statutory duel? Statutory duel. Ah, what a cracked old language this German is.
I've never heard of such a thing.
It is true that the practice has fallen into abeyance through disuse. But all the laws of Fennig Halfennig run for 100 years when they die a natural death. Unless, in the meantime, they have been revived for another century. The act that institutes the statutory duel was passed 100 years ago. And as it has never been revived, it expires tomorrow.
So you're just in time.
But what is the use of talking to us about a statutory duel when we none of us know what a statutory duel is?
Don't you? Then I'll explain.
About a century since, the code of the duello, to sudden death for want of breath, and many a strapping fellow, the then presiding prince, who useless bloodshed hated, he passed an act short and compact, which may be briefly stated. Unlike the complicated laws, a parliamentary draft and laws, it may be briefly stated.
We know the complicated laws, a parliamentary draft and laws, and no be
by this ingenious law, if any 2 shall quarrel, they may not fight with false and fright, which seem to him immoral. But each a card shall draw, and he who draws the lowest shall, so 'twas said, be henceforth dead. In fact, a legal goeth. When exigence of rhyme compels, orthography forgoes herself, and ghost is writ and goeth.
With what a length of fifty, when the form of orthography and when the title comes and goeth.
When often a fighting legal fiction, and friend and foe have wept their woe, encounter her fierce affliction. The winner must adopt the loser's poor relations, discharge his debts, pay all his bets, and take his obligations. The winner must adopt the loser's poor relations, discharge his debts, pay all his bets, discharge his debts, pay all his bets, and take his obligations. In short, to briefly sum the case, the winner takes the loser's place with all its obligations.
A little or a bit of it, the winner takes the loser's place with all its obligations. A little or a bit of it, the winner takes the loser's place. A little or a bit of it, the winner takes the loser's place with all its obligations.
I see. The man who draws the lowest card
dies, if so facto, a social death. He loses all his civil rights. His identity disappears. The revising barrister expunges his name from the list of voters. And the winner takes his place Whatever it may be, discharges all his functions and adopts all his responsibilities.
This is all very well as far as it goes, but it only protects one of us. What's to become of the survivor?
The survivor goes at once to the Grand Duke and in a burst of remorse denounces the dead man as the moving spirit of the plot. He is accepted as king's evidence and as a matter of course receives a free pardon. Tomorrow, when the law expires, the dead man will, ipso facto, come to life again. The revising barrister will restore his name to the list of voters, and he will resume all his obligations as though nothing unusual had happened.
When he will be at once arrested, tried, and executed on the evidence of the informer. Candidly, my friends, I don't think much of your plot.
dear, the ignorance of the laird. My good young lady, it is a beautiful maxim of our most glorious constitution that a man can only die once. Death expunges crime, and when he comes to life again, it will be with a clean slate.
It's really very ingenious.
My dear sir, we owe you our lives.
Ludwig, may I kiss you?
Certainly not. You're a big girl now. Well, miscreant, are you prepared to meet me on the field of honor?
At once. By Jove, what a couple of fire-eaters we are.
Ludwig doesn't know what fear is.
Oh, I don't mind this sort of duel.
It's not like a duel with swords. I hate a duel with swords. It's not the blade I mind. It's the blood.
And I hate a duel with pistols. It's not the ball I mind, it's the bag.
Altogether, it is a great improvement on the old method of giving satisfaction.
Take a card and gaily sing how little you care for fortune's rub. Hurrah, hurrah, I'm gonna kill
me.
Playing the big and small, the kick and the leg, the dog and chomp the bee. Now take a card with heart of grace, whatever our fate, let's play our part.
Hurrah, hurrah, have gone and ain't
an ain't. It's
let both these maids may keep their truth, and never misfortune them befall. I'll hold them as the thief of them.
Behold them all, behold them all. Yes, behold them.
Ernest goes off to spend his statutory 24 hours as a dead man. The notary takes charge of the ladies, and Ludwig sets out to find the Grand Duke. But here, preceded by 7 chamberlains, is the Grand Duke Rudolf himself. He is meanly and miserably dressed in old and patched clothes, but blazes with a profusion of orders and decorations. He is very weak and ill from low living.
Professors of monarchical autonomy, I don't indulge in levity or compromising gonomy, but dignified formality consistent with economy. Above all other virtues, juice I particularly prize. I never join in merriment. I don't see joke or chase penny. I never tolerate familiarity in shape penny. This joint with an extravagant respect for cup and taste penny. A keynote to my character sufficiently supplied. Observe. Meister Buck.
Nuffbot.
That incident, the keynote to my character supplied. I weigh out tea and sugar with precision mathematical. Instead of beer, a penny each. My orders are emphatical. Extravagance unpardonable any more than that I call. But on the other hand, my ducal dignity to keep. All courtly ceremonial, to put it comprehensively, I rigidly insist upon, but not, I hope, offensively, whenever ceremonial can be practiced inexpensively, and when you come to think of it, it's really very cheap. Observe. My handkerchief. It's stately and impressive, and it's very, very cheap. My Lord Chamberlain, as you are aware, my marriage with the wealthy Baroness von Krakenfeld will take place tomorrow, and you will be good enough to see that the rejoicings are on a scale of unusual liberality.
Highness.
Pass that on.
Liberal rejoicings.
Liberal rejoicings.
Liberal rejoicings.
Liberal rejoicings.
The sports will begin with a wedding breakfast bee. The leading pastry cooks of the town will be invited to compete, and the winner will not only enjoy the satisfaction of seeing his breakfast devoured by the Grand Ducal pair, but he will also be entitled to have the arms of Fenwick Hufvenwick tattooed between his shoulder blades. The Vice Chamberlain will see to this.
Tattoo.
All the public fountains of Spiesesaal will run with ginger beer, heim, and currant vine milch at the public expense. The assistant vice chamberlain will see to this.
Currant vine milch.
Currant vine milch.
Currant vine milch.
Currant vine.
Yeah. At night, everybody will illuminate, and as I have no desire to tax the public funds unduly, this will be done at the inhabitants' private expense. The Deputy Assistant Vice Chamberlain will see to this.
Illuminate.
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 All my Grand Ducal subjects will wear new clothes, and the Sub-Deputy Assistant Vice Chamberlain will collect the usual commission on all sales.
Commission.
Commission.
Mission
done. Wedding presents, which on this occasion should be on a scale of extraordinary magnificence, will be received at the palace at any hour of the 24, and the temporary Sub-Deputy Assistant Vice Chamberlain will sit up all night for this purpose.
Wedding presents.
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 The entire population will be commanded to enjoy themselves. And with this view, the acting temporary Sub-Deputy Assistant Vice Chamberlain will sing comic songs in the marketplace from noon till nightfall.
Comic songs.
Comic songs.
Comic songs.
We can't Lord Trade.
Not now, not now. Finally, we have composed a wedding anthem with which the entire population are required to provide themselves. It can be obtained from our grand ducal publishers at the usual discount price. And all the chamberlains will be expected to push the sale.
Highness.
Go away now. Go away. I don't feel at all comfortable. Hope I'm not doing a foolish thing in getting married. After all, it's a poor heart that never rejoices, and this wedding of mine is the first little treat I've allowed myself since my christening. Besides, Caroline's income is very considerable, and as her ideas of economy are quite on a par with mine, it ought to turn out well. Bless her tough old heart, she's a mean little darling.
Oh, here she is, punctual to her appointment.
Rudolph! Why, what's the matter?
I'm not quite myself, my pet. I'm a little worried and upset. I want a tonic. A low diet, I think. I'm afraid, after all, I shall have to take the bull by the horns and have an egg with my breakfast.
I shouldn't do anything rash, dear. Begin with the jujube.
I'll keep it for supper. Ah, Caroline.
Rudolph, don't. What in the world are you thinking of?
I was thinking of embracing you, my sugar plum. Just as a little cheap treat.
What, here? In public? Really, you appear to have no sense of delicacy.
No sense of delicacy, Bombo?
No. I can't make you out. When you courted me, all your courting was done publicly in the marketplace. When you proposed to me, you proposed in the marketplace. And now that we're engaged, you seem to desire that our first tête-à-tête shall occur in the marketplace. Surely you've adorned your palace with blinds that would do.
But my own, I can't help myself. I'm bound by my own decree.
Your own decree?
Yes, you see, all the houses that give on the marketplace belong to me. But the drains, which date back to the reign of Charlemagne, want attending to, and the houses wouldn't let. So, with a view of increasing the value of the property, I decreed that all love episodes between affectionate couples should take place in public on this spot every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday when the band doesn't play.
Bless me, what a happy idea. So model, too. And have you found it answer?
Answer? The rents have gone up 50%, and the sale of opera glasses, which is a grand ducal monopoly, has received an extraordinary stimulus. So, under the circumstances, would you allow me to put my arm round your waist as a source of income? Oh, just one.
But it's so very embarrassing. Think of the opera glasses.
My good girl, that's just what I am thinking of. Hang it all, we must give them something for their money. What's that?
It's a letter which your detective asked me to hand to you. I wrapped it up in yesterday's paper to keep it clean.
No, it's only his report. That'll keep. But I say, you've never been and bought a newspaper.
My dear Rudolph, did you think I'm mad? It came wrapped round my breakfast.
I thought you were not the sort of girl to go and buy a newspaper. Well, as we've got it, we may as well read it. What does it say?
Our detested despot. But, dear me, here's your biography. And it says, oh, it can't be.
What? Can't they?
Why, it says that although you're going to marry me tomorrow, you were betrothed in infancy to the Princess of Monte Carlo.
Yes, that's quite right. Didn't I mention it?
Mention it? You never said a word about it.
So like me. Well, it doesn't matter because, you see, it's practically off.
Practically off?
Yes, by the terms of the contract, the betrothal is void unless the princess marries before she is of age. Now, her father, the prince, is stony broke and hasn't left his house for years for fear of arrest. Over and over again, he has implored me to come to him to be married, but in vain. Over and over again, he has implored me to advance him the money to enable the princess to come to me, but in vain. I am young, not as young as that. And as the princess comes of age at 2 tomorrow, why, at 2 tomorrow, I'm a free man. So I appointed that hour for our wedding, as I should like to have as much marriage as I can get for my money.
I see. Of course, if the married state is a happy state, it's a pity to waste.
Why, every hour we delayed, I should lose a lot of you, and you'd lose a lot of me.
My thoughtful darling. Oh, Rudolph, we ought to be very happy.
If I'm not, it'll be my first bad investment. Still, there is such a thing as a slump, even in matrimonials.
I often picture us in the long, cold, dark December evenings, sitting close to each other and singing impassioned duets to keep us warm, and thinking of all the lovely things we could afford to buy, if we chose, and at the same time planning out our lives in a spirit of the most rigid and exacting economy.
It's a most beautiful and touching picture of connubial bliss,
in its highest and most rarefied development.
As o'er a penny roll we sing, it is not representative to think what joys our wealth would bring were we disposed to do the thing upon a scale extensive. This rich mock turtle thick and clean.
Perhaps we'll have it once a year.
You are an open-handed deal.
No, mind you, it's expensive.
No doubt it is expensive.
How fitting are the gluttons' joys with fish and how delightfully broiled.
And pays for such expensive tricks sometimes as much as two and six.
As two and six?
As two and six. Sometimes as much as two and six.
It gives him no advantage, man. For you and me have only dined. And you remain when one sits down a better man by half a crown.
By half a crown?
By half a crown. Yes, two and six is half a crown. Then let us be modestly merry and rejoice with a merry young dilly. For to laugh at the thing, no extravagant thing, is the joy economical dilly. Then let us be modestly merry and rejoice with a merry young dilly. For to laugh at the thing, no extravagant thing, is the joy economical dilly. Although, as you're of course aware, I never tried to hide it. I moisten my insipid fare with water which I can't abear.
Nor I can't abide it.
This sneezing fact of foes will cheer with £50,000 a year. We could indulge in table beer.
Yes,
we could. I've tried it.
Yes, yes, of course you've tried it.
Can purchase all his fancy loves and picture hat.
2 shilling gloves.
2 shilling gloves.
2 shilling gloves. You think of that 2 shilling gloves.
He chews and ties a gaudy shoe. And Waterbury watches too. And think that he could buy the lot were he a donkey.
Which he's not.
Oh, no, he's not.
Oh, no, he's not. That kind of donkey he is not. Then let us be modestly merry and rejoice with a jelly down jelly. For to laugh and to sing is a rational thing, it's a joy economical berry. Then let us be modestly merry and rejoice with a jelly down jelly. Now for my detective's report. What's this? Another conspiracy? A conspiracy to depose me? And my private detective was so convulsed with laughter at the notion of a conspirator selecting him for a confidant that he was physically unable to arrest the malefactor. Why? It'll come off. This comes of engaging a detective with a keen sense of the ridiculous. For the future, I'll employ none but Scotchmen. And the plot is to explode tomorrow, my wedding day. Oh, Caroline. Caroline. This is perfectly frightful. What's to be done? I don't know. I ought to keep cool and think. But you can't think when your veins are full of hot soda water. And your brains
fizzing like a firework, and all your faculties are jumbled in a perfect whirlpool. Tumblification. I'm going to be ill. I know I am. I've been living too low. And I'm going to be very ill indeed. When you find you're a broken down critter, who is all in a tremble and twitter, with your palate unpleasantly bitter, as if you'd just bitten a pill, when your legs are as thin as dividers, and you're plagued with unruly insiders, and your spine is all creepy with spiders, and your hiney can move in the gill. When you've got a beehive in your head and a sewing machine in each ear, and you feel that you've eaten your bed and you've got a bad headache, a headache down here. When such facts are about and those symptoms you find in your body or crown, it's a shame you look out, you may make up your mind that you'd better die down. Go at once and lie down. When your lips are all smeary like tallow, and your tongue is decidedly yellow, with a pint of warm oil in your swallow and a pound of tin tacks in your chest, when you're down in the mouth with the vapors and all over your Morris wallpapers, black beetles are cutting their papers and crawly things never act. When you doubt if your head is your own, and you jump when an open door slams, then you've got to a state which is known to the medical world as Jim Jam. If such symptoms you find in your body or head, they're not easy to quell. You may make up your mind you are better in bed, for you're not at all well. No, you're not at all well. Not at all well.
Now for my confession and full pardon. They told me the Grand Duke was dancing duets in the marketplace, but I don't see him. Hello, who's this? Why, it is the Grand Duke.
Who are you, sir, who presume to address me in person? If you've anything to communicate, you must fling yourself at the feet of my acting temporary sub-deputy assistant vice-chamberlain, who will fling himself at the feet of his immediate superior, and so on, with successive foot-flingings through the various grades. Your communication will, in course of time, come to my august knowledge.
But when I inform your highness that in me you see the most unhappy, the most unfortunate, the most completely miserable man in your whole dominion...
Are you the most miserable man in my whole dominion? How can you have the face to stand there and say such a thing? Why, look at me. Look at me.
Well, I wouldn't be a crybaby.
A crybaby? If you had just been told that you were going to be deposed tomorrow and perhaps blown up with dynamite for all I know, wouldn't you be a crybaby? I do declare that if I could only hit upon some cheap and painless method of putting an end to an existence which has become insupportable, I would unhesitatingly adopt it.
You would?
I see a magnificent way out of this, and by Jupiter, I'll try it.
Are you by any chance in earnest?
in earnest. Look at me.
If you are really in earnest, if you really desire to escape scot-free from this impending, this unspeakably horrible catastrophe, without trouble, danger, pain, or expense, why not resort to a statutory duel?
A statutory duel?
Yes. The act is still in force, but it will expire tomorrow afternoon. You fight, you lose, you are dead for a day. And tomorrow, when the act expires, you will come to life again and resume your grand duchy as though nothing had happened. And in the meantime, the explosion will have taken place and the survivor will have had to bear the brunt of it.
Yes, that's all very well, but who will be fool enough to be the survivor?
Actuated by an overwhelming sense of attachment to your grand ducal person, I unhesitatingly offer myself as the victim of your subject's fury.
You do? Well, really, that's very handsome. I dare say being blown up is not nearly as unpleasant as one would think.
Oh, yes, it is. It mixes one up awfully.
But suppose I were to lose.
Ah, that is easily arranged.
Come.
I'll put an ace up my sleeve and you'll put a king up yours. Ah. And when the drawing takes place, I shall seem to draw the higher card and you the lower. Ah, there you are.
Ah, but that's cheating.
Ah, so it is. I never thought of that.
Not that I mind. But I say, you won't take an unfair advantage of your day of office. You won't go tipping people or squandering my little savings on fireworks or any nonsense of that sort.
I'm hurt. Really hurt by the suggestion.
You wouldn't like to put down a deposit, perhaps?
No, I don't think I should like to put down a deposit.
Oh, give a guarantee.
A guarantee would be equally open to objection.
It would be more regular. Well, very well, I suppose you must have your own way.
Good. I say, we must have a devil of a quarrel.
Oh, a devil of a quarrel?
Just to give colour to the thing. Shall I give you a sound thrashing before all the people? Say the word, it is no trouble.
No, I think not, though it would be very convincing and it's extremely good and thoughtful of you to suggest it. A devil of a quarrel.
Oh, a devil of a quarrel.
No half measure. Big words, strong language, rude remarks. Who the devil of a quarrel?
Now, the question is, how shall we summon the people?
Oh, there's no difficulty about that, bless your heart. They've been staring at us through those windows for the last half hour. Hither, all you people, when you hear the fearful news.
All the pretty women weep, both men will shiver in their shoes. And they're all my lord defenders when they land a pact tremendous.
Except to give this man his duel.
In a statutory duel.
His civilian manners
cut. His contemptible nobody talk, and you does not refuse.
Now you begin and pick it strong. Walk into me abusively.
Like several epithets that I reserve for you exclusively. A choice selection I have here when you are ready to begin.
No, you begin.
No, you begin.
No, you begin.
No, you begin. No, you begin.
Bombs, small bombs, break, and the little ones put him in a pillory, drag him in artillery.
Long pause, 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 top pause, and the middle ones drag him into pitch, blow him into pitch.
You must, sir.
You know, sir.
Enough, sir.
Get out, sir.
I hit, sir.
Hit that, sir.
It is, sir.
But that, sir.
It is, sir. But that, sir. It is, sir. But that, sir. It is, sir.
Of rich, of the needy
ones. Who are you, and who do you
have? Not filth, not wealth, not the needy ones. I'd rather think of
that, you refer.
To you, sir. To
me, sir. I do, sir.
You see, sir.
I hear, sir. Cremate, sir.
You hear, sir.
I
say, sir.
It's the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it
makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes the possessor, it makes
sing songs and
in a breath,
and in a breath,
fight a duel,
fight a duel for the
turf. You mean, of course, by duel, verbum sat. A statutory duel.
What is that?
According to established legal uses, a card apiece each bold dispute chooses. Dead as a doornail is the dog who loses. The winner steps into the dead man's shoes.
Dead as a doornail is the dog who loses. The winner steps into the dead man's shoes.
Agreed.
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 Come, come, the pack.
Behold it here.
I'm on the rack.
I quake with fear.
First go to me. He has the key. Behold the king.
Behold the
ace.
Tomorrow. Yes, yes, I'll come to life tomorrow.
My Lord Grand Duke, never journey best. To your convenience, in your understanding. A mild contents of you.
Are limited to 24 hours.
No matter, though the time will quickly run, in hours 24 much may be done. A monarch who boasts intellectual greatness can do if he likes a good deal in a day, can put all his friends in conspicuous places with plenty to eat and with nothing to pay. You'll tell me, no doubt, with unpleasant remains, tomorrow deprived of your ribbons, and later you'll get your dismissal with very long faces. But wait, on that topic, I've something to say. I've something to say, I've something to say.
Something to say.
Oh, our rules will be merry, I'm not an ascetic, and while the sun shines, will we get up a hay by a pushing and monarch up to energetic. A very great deal may be done in a day. For instance, his measure. His ancestor drew it. This law against you will tomorrow will die. The Duke will revive and you'll certainly rue it. He'll give you what for and he'll let you know why. But in 24 hours, it's time to renew it with a century's life. I've got right to imbue it. It's easy to do. And by jingo, I'll do it. It's done till I perish. Your monarch am I, your monarch am I, your monarch am I. I do not pretend to be very prophetic. I fancy I know what you're going to say. By a pushing a monarch of turn energetic, a very great deal may be done in a day. This very afternoon at 2:00, the court appointments will be given out to each and all, for that was the condition according to professional position.
Hurrah! Hurrah!
Hurrah!
According to professional position.
According to professional position.
Then hurrah! 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 Hurrah!
As for the stage meant, it certainly frees Ludwig from his connubial promise, though marriage contracts or whate'er you call them are very solemn. Dramatic contracts which you all adore so are even more so.
Dramatic contracts are very solemn. Dramatic contracts are even more so.
My hope has failed.
Where will she go? What will she do?
That isn't in your part, you know.
Oh, quite true. Depressing topic we'll not touch upon. Let us begin as we are going on. For this will be a jolly cot for little and for big. From on tonight, the life will be as merry as a grig. All state and ceremony will eternally abolish. We don't mean to insist upon unnecessary polish. And on the whole, I'd rather think you'll find our old colorist. The jolly, jolly ding. The jolly, jolly ding. The jolly, 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 jolly ding.
But since your new maid goes without a costly coatis, we shall require some quota at not a moment's notice. In Chrome of Carbon Court, your courtiers must not grovel. Your new noblex must have a dress for original and novel.
Old Athens, we'll exhume the necessary dresses, correct and true and all brand new, the company possesses. Henceforth, our court costume shall live in song and story, for we'll appraise the dead old days of Athens in her glory. This will be a jolly court for little and for big. From on tonight, the life will be as merry as a grig.
Some hours later, we are in the entrance hall of the Grand Ducal Palace. And here come the members of the theatrical company, now dressed in their Troilus and Cressida costumes. Bearing garlands and playing musical instruments, they herald the return of Ludwig and Julia from their marriage ceremony, which has just taken place.
Thank you.
loyalty our ducal heartstrings touches. Allow me to present your new Grand Duchess. Should she offend, you'll graciously excuse her and kindly recollect I didn't choose her. At the outset, I may mention it's my sovereign intention to revive the classic memories of Athens at its best. For the company possesses all the necessary dresses, and a course of quiet cramming will supply us with the rest. We've a choir hypothematic, that is ballet operatic, who respond to the cruelty of the cultivated age. And a clever chorus master, all but captious pretty Costa, would accept as a choregos of the early Attic stage. This return to classic ages is considered in their wages, which are always calculated by the day or by the week. And I'll pay them if they'll back me, all in obolo and drag me, which they'll get if they preferred it at the Kalends that are Greek. At this junction, I may mention that this erudition sham is but classical pretension, the result of steady cram. Periphrastic methods burning through this audience discerning. I admit this show of learning is the fruit of steady cram. In the period Socratic, every dining room was attic, which suggested architecture of a topsy-turvy kind. There they satisfy their thirst on a recherche called a riston, which is what they call their lunch, and so may you if you're inclined. As they gradually got on, they trepest by frost on foton, which is attic for a steady and a conscientious drink. But they mixed their wine with water, which I'm sure they didn't order, and we modern Saxons know a trick or two of that, I think. Then came rather risky dances under certain circumstances, which would shock that worthy gentleman, the licenser of plays, Corybantian, maniacic, Dionysiac, or Bacchic, and the dithyrambic rebels of those undecorous days. And perhaps I'd better mention, less alarming you I am, that it isn't our intention to perform a dithyram. It displays a lot of stopping, which is always very shocking, and of course I'm only mocking at the prevalence of cram.
It displays a lot of stopping, which is always very shocking, and of course I'm only mocking at the prevalence of cram.
Yes, on reconsideration, there are customs of that nation which are not in strict accordance with the habits of our day. And when I come to codify their rules, I mean to modify, or Mrs. Grundy perhaps may have a word or two to say. For they had the Macintoshes, or umbrellas, or galoshes, and a shower with their dresses must have played the very deuce. And it must have been unpleasing when they caught a bit of pleasing, for it seems of pocket handkerchiefs they didn't know the use. They wore little underclothing, scarcely anything or nothing, and the dress of coal and silk was quite transparent in design. Well, in fact, in summer weather, something like the altogether, and it's there I rather fancy I shall have to draw the line. And again, I wish to mention that this erudition sham is but classical pretension, the result of steady cram. Yet my classic or aggressive, if you'll pardon the possessive, is exceedingly impressive when you're passing an exam.
Yes, it's classic or aggressive, if you'll pardon the possessive, is exceedingly impressive when you're passing an exam.
And his Julia are mated. Oh, when an obscure comedian, whom the law backs to sovereign rank, is promptly elevated, he takes it with its incidental drawbacks. So Julia and I are duly mated.
everybody has gone and we're happily and comfortably married, I want to have a few words with my newborn husband.
Yes, I expect you'll often have a few words with your newborn husband.
Well, what is it?
Why, I've been thinking that as you and I have to play our parts for life, it is most essential that we should come to a definite understanding as to how they shall be rendered. Now, I've been considering how I can make the most of the Grand Duchess.
Have you? Well, if you'll take my advice, you'll make a very fine part of it.
Why, that's quite my idea.
I shouldn't make it one of your hoity-toity vixenish viragos.
Oh, you think not?
Oh, no, I am quite clear about that. I should make her a tender, gentle, submissive, affectionate, but not too affectionate, child wife, timidly anxious to coil herself into her husband's heart, but kept in check by an awestruck reverence for his exalted intellectual qualities and his majestic personal appearance.
Oh, is that your idea of a good part?
Oh, yes. A wife who regards her husband's slightest wish as an inflexible law, and who ventures but rarely into his august presence unless, which would happen seldom, he should summon her to appear before him. A crushed, despairing violet, whose blighted existence would culminate all too soon in a lonely and pathetic death scene. A fine part, my dear.
Yes, there's a good deal to be said for your view of it. Now, there are some actresses whom it would fit like a glove.
I wish I'd married one of them.
But, you see, I must consider my temperament. For instance, my temperament...
Now, Julia, come, consider it from this dainty point of view. A timid, tender, feminine gender prompt to coyly coo. Yet silent speaking, seldom speaking, till she's spoken to. For comfy, cozy, rosy, cozy, innocent as a moo. The part you're suited to give the deuce a view. A sweet old jiminy, mimini, pimini, innocent as a moo.
I'm not obliged to you. I don't think that's what you do. Oh, you forget my special magic in a high dramatic sense. Sliding situation, tragic on the lie of leaving sense. If I justify promotion in vitriolic art, I submit to you my notion of a first-rate part.
Well, let us see your notion of a first-rate part.
I have a rival. Frenzy thrilled, I find you both together. My heart stands still with horror chilled. Hard as the millstone never. And soft, slimy, sneaky, crawly, creepy, wakey. I track her on her homeward way as panther tracks her fated prey. I fly at her soft white throat with a lily-white laughing leman. On her agonized gaze I gloat with the glee of a dancing demon. My rival she, I have no doubt of her. So I hold on till the breath is out of her. Till the breath is out of her. And then, remorse, remorse. Oh, cold and pleasant corpse. Avaunt, avaunt, that lifeless form I gaze upon. That face, still warm, but weirdly wan. Those eyes of glass I contemplate. And then, alas, too late, too late. I find she is your aunt. Then mad, 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 with fancies wild, chimerical, now sorrowful, silent, sad, now hullabaloo hysterical. But whether I'm sad or whether I'm glad, mad, 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 mad. Of a high-class heart, and satisfies my notion of a first-rate part,
and satisfies my notion of a first-rate part.
Do you know who I am?
I don't. Your cousin as I can't fix, my dear.
This proves I'm not a sham.
It won't. It's only the laundry mark, my dear.
Express your grief, propose.
I shan't detone. I never allow my love.
Rudolph at once, for you.
I can't. He isn't at home just now, my love.
He isn't at home just now. God bless my heart and soul, and I became your death personified. I come here to be matrimonially matrimonified.
For any disappointment, I am sorry unaffectedly. But yesterday, that nobleman expired quite unexpectedly.
Is this hot morning or a fancy ball?
Well, it is a delicate combination of both effects. It is intended to express inconsolable grief at the decease of the late Duke and ebullient joy at the accession of his successor. I am his successor, and permit me to present to you my Grand Duchess.
Your Grand Duchess? Oh, Your Highness.
Old frump.
A recent creation, probably.
We were married only half an hour ago.
Exactly. I thought she seemed new to the position.
Mom, I don't know who you are, but I flatter myself I can do justice to any part on the very shortest notice.
My dear, under the circumstances, you are doing admirably, and you'll improve with practice.
Oh,
it's so difficult to be a lady when one isn't born into
it. Stand this. Am I not to be allowed to pull her to pieces?
No. It isn't Greek. Be a violet, I beg.
And now, tell me all about this distressing circumstance. How did the Grand Duke die?
He perished nobly in a statutory duel.
In a statutory duel? But that's only a civil death. And the act expires tonight, and then he will come to life again.
Well, no. Anxious to inaugurate my reign by conferring some inestimable boon upon my people, I signalize this occasion by reviving the law for another 100 years.
For another 100 years? Then set the merry joy bells ringing. Let festive epithalamia resound through these ancient halls. Cut the satisfying sandwich. Broach the exhilarating marsala. And let us rejoice today, if we never rejoice again.
But I don't think I quite understand. We have already rejoiced a great deal.
Happy man! You little wreck of the extent of the good things you are in for. When you killed Rudolph, you adopted all his overwhelming responsibilities. Know then that I, Caroline von Krakenfeld, am the most overwhelming of them all.
But stop. I have just been married to somebody else.
Yes, ma'am. To somebody else, ma'am. Do you understand, ma'am? To somebody else.
Do keep this young woman quiet. She fidgets me.
Fidgets you.
Be a violet, a crushed, despairing violet.
But do you suppose I intend to give up my magnificent part without a scruple?
My good girl, she has the law on her side. Let us both bear this calamity with resignation. If you must struggle, go away and struggle in the seclusion of your chamber.
Oh!
Now away to the wedding we go, for the common the chariot is. No kind of reluctant we choose, we'll embark on our married careers. The Julia's emotion may flow in the form of impetuous tears. To our wedding we legally go, for common the chariot is.
To our wedding we legally go, for common the chariot is.
I can't wait any longer. At any risk, I must gratify my urgent desire to know what is going on. Why, what's that? Surely I see a wedding procession winding down the hill, dressed in my Troilus and Cressida costumes. That's Ludwig's doing. I see how it is. He found the time hang heavy on his hands and is amusing himself by getting married to Lisa. No, it can't be to Lisa. For here she is.
I really cannot stand seeing my Ludwig married twice in one day to somebody else.
Lisa.
Oh!
Come here. Don't be a little fool. I want you.
Oh.
Why, what's the matter with the little donkey? One would think she saw a ghost. But he's not marrying Lisa. Whom is he marrying? Julia. I see it all. Oh, the scoundrel. He had to adopt all my responsibilities, and he's shabbily taken advantage of the situation to marry the girl I'm engaged to. But no, it can't be Julia, for here she is.
I've made up my mind. I won't stand it. I'll send in my notice at once.
Julia, oh, what a relief. Then you've not married Ludwig. You are still true to me.
Oh.
Don't run away. Listen to me. Are you all crazy?
What would you with me, Spectre? Oh, ain't his eyes sepulchral? And ain't his voice hollow? What are you doing out of your tomb at this time of day, apparition?
I do wish I could make you girls understand that I'm only technically dead, and that physically I'm as much alive as I ever was in my life.
Oh, but it's an awful thing to be haunted by a technical bogey.
You won't be haunted much longer. The law must be on its last legs, and in a few hours I shall come to life again. Resume all my social and civil functions and claim my darling as my blushing bride.
Oh, then you haven't heard.
My love, I've heard nothing. How could I?
There are no daily papers where I come from.
Oh. Why, Ludwig challenged Rudolf and won, and now he's Grand Duke, and he's revived the law for another century.
What? But you're not serious. You're only joking.
My good sir, I'm a light-hearted girl, but I don't chaff bogey.
Well, that's the meanest dodge I've ever heard of.
Every trick I call it.
But you don't mean to say that you're going to cry off.
I really can't afford to wait until your time is up. You know I've always set my face against long engagements.
Then defy the law and marry me now. We will fly to your native country, and I'll play broken English in London as you play broken German here.
No. These legal technicalities cannot be defied. Situated as you are, you have no power to make me your wife. At best, you could only make me a widow.
Then be my widow. My little, dainty, winning, winsome widow.
Now, what would be the good of that? Why, you goose, I should marry again within the month.
If the light of love's lingering ember has faded in gloom, you cannot neglect nor remember a voice from the tomb. Let's turn to the natural diction
should act as a solemn restriction, although I am mere legal fiction, a voice from the tomb, a voice from the tomb.
I own that I stutter and excuse me, it withers my bloom. With awful emotion it thrills me, that voice from the tomb. Oh, Spectre, won't anything lay you? No pain to deny or gainsay this. In this case I cannot obey this. Oh, voice from the tomb. The voice from the tomb. The voice from the tomb. From the tomb. Spectre, I'm falling at peace. Good day. Perhaps you'll be calling when passing this way. Your pocket of scorning and gone, your love longing. I bid you good morning, I bid you good day. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good day. Oh, the picture of falling I bid you good day.
My love, hurry, calling your words I obey. Your fate is appalling and full of dismay. To pay for this calling, I give you fair warning. I'll haunt you each morning, each night and each day. I'll haunt you morning, night and day.
Picture of falling, I bid you good day.
Thank you.
Why, who is this approaching upon our joy encroaching? Some rascal come a-poaching. Who's heard that wine we're brooching?
The herald.
The Prince of Monte Carlo, the Mediterranean water, has come here to bestow on you his beautiful daughter. They paid off all they owe, as every statesman ought. That Prince of Monte Carlo and his beautiful daughter.
The Prince of Monte Carlo,
the Mediterranean water,
has come
to on you his beautiful daughter. As every statesman ought, that Prince of Monte Carlo. The Prince of Monte Carlo, who is so very particular, has heard that you're also a ceremonious mixer. Therefore he lets you know, by word of mouth or exert, that Prince of Monte Carlo, who is so very particular, that Prince of Monte Carlo, has come here to bestow on you. They paid off all they owe, that Prince of Monte Carlo. The Prince of Monte Carlo, he lets you know his beautiful daughter.
His Highness, we know not, nor the locality in which is situate his principality. But as he guesses by some odd fatality, this is the shop for cut and dried formality. Let him appear, he'll find that we're remarkable for cut and dried formality.
Now that he's gone, I have a plan. I'll tell you all the plot of it. He wants formality. He shall have a lot of it.
Now, if you'll all do exactly as I say, he'll have a surprise. And then when we're all behind the curtains and you hear them, conceal yourselves. And when I give the cue, spring out on him. You all know what to do.
We're rigged out in magnificent array. In costumes which we've hired by the day, from a very well-known costume.
I am the very well-known costume.
With a brilliant star for print should make a show. It's a rule that never.
regard for best friends. Sleep to Banumarelli. Sleep to Banumarelli. Grammar's lost, and their language is lamentable, and they never take off their gloves because their nails are not presentable.
Our nails are not presentable.
What comes for these short comes that is we explain in six for data. There were the masses of the brewing to the spirit
and the data. To the spirit and the thinking. We are very, very rich, and the coin in the attic. To the spirit and the
my dear, here we are at last, just in time to compel Duke Rudolph to fulfill the terms of his marriage contract. Another hour and we should have been too late.
Yes, Papa. And if you hadn't fortunately discovered a means of making an income by honest industry, we should never have got here at all.
Very true. Confined for the last 2 years within the precincts of my palace by an obdurate bootmaker who held a warrant for my arrest, I devoted my enforced leisure to a study of the doctrine of chances, mainly with the view of ascertaining whether there was the remotest chance of my ever going out for a walk again. And this led to the discovery of a singularly fascinating little round game, which I have called roulette, and by which, in one sitting, I won no less than 5,000 francs. My first act was to pay my bootmaker. My second, to engage a good, useful working set of second-hand nobles. And my third, to hurry you off to Phoenix Half Pennies as fast as a train de luxe could carry us.
Yes, and a pretty job lot of second-hand nobles you scraped together.
Pretty, you think? I don't know. I should say tallal, my love. Only tallal. They're not wholly satisfactory. There's a certain air of unreality about them. They are not convincing.
But, my good friend, what can you expect for 18 pence a day?
Now, take this peer, for instance. What the deuce do you call him?
Him? Oh, he's a swell. He's the Duke of Riviera.
Oh, he's a duke, is he? Well, that's no reason why he should look so confoundedly haughty. Be affable, sir. That's better. Now, who's this with his moustache coming off?
Why, you're Viscount Mentone, ain't you?
Best if I know. It's round here on my sword belt. Yeah. Viscount Mentone.
Then why don't you say so? Hold yourself up. You ain't carrying sandwich boards now.
Now, once and for all, you peers, when His Highness arrives, don't stand like sticks, but appear to take an intelligent and sympathetic interest in what's going on. You needn't say anything, but let your gestures be in accordance with the spirit of the conversation. Now, take the word from me. Affability. Submission. Surprise. Come on. Surprise. Shame. Grief. Joy. Come on now, all together. That's better. You can do it if you like.
But, Papa, where in the world is the court? There is positively no one here to receive us. I can't help feeling that Rudolph wants to get out of it because I'm poor. He's a miserly little wretch, that's what he is.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. I would rather describe him as an enthusiastic collector of coins of the realm. And we must not be too hard upon a numismatist if he feels a certain disinclination to part with some of his really very valuable specimens. It's a pretty hobby. I've often thought I should like to collect some coins myself.
Papa, I'm sure there's someone behind that curtain. I saw it move.
Then no doubt they're coming. Now, mind you, Piers, haughty affability combined with a sense of what is due to your exalted rank. Or I'll fine you half a franc each. Upon my soul, I will.
Now, what do you think of that? That is our official ceremonial for the reception of visitors of the very highest distinction.
Well, it's very quaint. Very curious indeed. Prettily put it, too. Prettily put it.
Would you like to see how we say goodbye to visitors of distinction? That ceremony is also performed with the foot.
Really, this tone. Perhaps you have not completely grasped the situation.
Not altogether.
Then I'll give you a lead over. I am the father of the Princess of Monte Carlo. Doesn't that convey any idea to the Grand Ducal mind? Nothing definite. Very odd. Never mind, try again. This is the daughter of the Prince of Monte Carlo. You take?
No, not yet. Go on, don't give up. I dare say it'll come presently.
Very odd. Well, never mind, try again. 20 years ago, little Doddle Doddle. Two little Doddle Doddles. Happy father, hers and yours. Proud mother, yours and hers. Ah, now you take. I see you do.
Nothing is more annoying than to feel that you're not equal to the intellectual pressure of the conversation. I wish you'd say something intelligible.
You didn't expect me?
No, I grasp that. Thank you very much indeed. No, I did not expect you.
Oh, I thought not. But at last I have escaped from my enforced restraint.
No,
you misunderstand me. I mean I've paid my debts.
Oh.
Take my advice, when deep in debt, set up a bank and play roulette. At once it trusts you surely, lull, and look the pigeon and the gull. The bird will stake his every franc in wild attempt to break the bank. But you may stake your life and limb, the bank will end by breaking him. Allons encore, just for fiesta, pour Louis d'or, pour Jarrette. Hola, 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 hola. My best water. Allons la classe, pour se passe, la banque se casse. Rien ne va plus. Redites-moi, un père est manque. Hola, hola, vive la banque. For every time the board you spin, the bank is bound to win.
For every time the board you spin, the bank is bound to win.
A cosmic game is this roulette. The little ball, the true coquette. A maiden coy whom numbers woo. Whom sinks and 30 suits assume. Of all complexions too good lack. For some are red and some are black. And some must be extremely green. For half of them are not 19. Allons encore, just for fiesta. For Louis d'or, for charrette. Hola, 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 hola. Répète, Rose. Allons la foule, ça roule, le son s'écoule. Rien ne va plus. Le 35 rouge, un père est passe. Très bien étudiant de la classe. The mark says when you begin, the bank is bound to win.
The mark says when you begin, the bank is bound to win.
flirt in bread. She flirts with black, she flirts with red. From this to that, she hops above, and back to this as if in doubt. To call her thoughtless were unkind, the child is making up her mind. For all the world, like all the rest, we spread on all will pay the best. Allons au fort, un garçon fillette, vos louis d'or, vos recharettes. Hola, 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 hola. Mais faites l'âge, qui perce fille au fond chari, car aujourd'hui, rien ne va plus. Tra-la-la-la, le double zéro, vous perdez tous mes nobles héros. Where are at last the balls of tin, the bank is bound to win.
Where at last the balls of tin, the bank is bound to win.
But my darling, I'm afraid that even now you don't quite realize who I am.
Why, you forward little hussy, how dare you?
Oh. You mustn't do that, my dear. Never in the presence of the Grand Duchess, I beg.
Oh, Papa, he's got the Grand Duchess.
Hey, Grand Duchess. My good girl, I've got three Grand Duchesses.
Well, I'm sure. Papa, let's go away. This is not a respectable court.
All these Grand Dukes have their little fancies, my love. This potentate appears to be collecting wives. It's a pretty hobby. I should like to collect a few myself. Have you such a thing as a catalogue of the museum?
But I cannot permit Rudolph to keep a museum.
Rudolph? Get along with you. I'm not Rudolph. Rudolph died yesterday.
What's
that?
Quite suddenly, of a cardiac affection.
Of a cardiac affection?
Yes, a pack of cardiac affection. He fought a statutory duel with me and lost. And I took over all his engagements, including this imperfectly preserved old lady to whom he has been engaged for the last 3 weeks.
3 weeks? But I've been engaged to him for the last 20 years.
20 years?
It's all right, my love. They can't get over that. He's yours. Take him and hold him as tight as you can.
My own.
Oh, here's another, the fourth in 24 hours. Would anybody else like to marry me? You, ma'am, or you, anybody? I'm getting used to it.
But let me tell you, ma'am.
Why, you impudent little hussy.
Oh, here's another. Here's another.
Poor ladies, I am very sorry for you all. But you see, I have prior claim. Come, away we go. There's not a moment to be lost.
This may not be frustrated are your plans with paramount degree. The law forbids the ban. The law forbids the ban.
Forbids the bans? Not a bit of it. I've revived the law for another century.
You didn't revive it. You couldn't revive it.
Well, you're a pretty kind of fellow. That's my life you shatter, oh. My little store of gold and silver recklessly you scatter, oh. You guzzle and you gormandize all day with cup and platter, oh. And eat my food and drink my wine, especially the latter, oh. But when compared with other crimes for which your head I'll batter, oh, this flippity-dippity kind of a liberty scarcely seems to matter, oh. My dainty bride, my bridey, let you wheedle and you flatter, oh. With coarse and clumsy compliment, her senses you beflatter, oh. You fascinate her tough old heart with vain and vulgar patter, oh. Although the deuce confound you, you're unworthy to look at her, oh. But even this compared with these that drive me mad as hatter, oh, this flippity-dippity kind of a liberty scarcely seems to matter, oh. For,
row, you vulgar vagabond, you found a vital chatter, oh. You've done a deed on which I vow you won't get any fatter, oh. You fancy you've revived the law, me empty brag and chatter, oh. You can't, you shan't, you don't, you won't, you big of rag and chatter, oh. For this you suffer agonies like rats in clutch of rats, or oh, this liberty, liberty, kind of a liberty, spite and art of natter, oh. Yes, you're an imposter, sir, a company rogue, sir. You never were, and in all human probability never will be, Grand Duke of Fennec anything.
What?
Never, never, never. Oh, my internal economy.
That is absurd, you know. I fought the Grand Duke. He drew a king, and I drew an ace. He perished in inconceivable agonies on the spot. Now, as that is settled, we will go on with the wedding.
It isn't settled. You can't. Dr. Tannhäuser, tell him I can't.
Well, the fact is, there's been a little mistake here. On reference to the act that regulates statutory duels, I find it is expressly laid down that ace shall count invariably as lowest.
As lowest. So you're the goest.
What is the matter with me inside you?
And am I to understand that I was on the point of marrying a dead man without knowing it? Oh, my love, what a narrow escape I've had.
Oh, you are the Princess of Monte Carlo, and you've turned up just in time. Well, you're an attractive little girl, you know, but you're as poor as a rat.
Well, Julia, as it seems that the law hasn't been revised, and as consequently, I shall come to life in about 3 minutes.
My objection falls to the ground. Very well. That's all very well, but what is to become of me, Ludwig, if you're a dead man?
Oh. But I'm not. Time's up. The act has expired. I've come to life. The parson is still in attendance, and we'll all be married directly.
Complete performance of The Grand Duke by W.S. Gilbert and Arthur Sullivan. Rudolph was played by Peter Pratt. Ernest Dummkopf was sung by Kenneth Bowen and spoken by Dinsdale Landon. Ludwig was sung by John Heddle Nash and spoken by John Sharp. Dr. Tannhäuser was sung by Leslie Fison and spoken by Michael Spice. The Prince of Monte Carlo was sung by Neil Howlett and spoken by Wilfred Carter. Ben Hashbaz was sung by Don Paulin and spoken by Timothy Harley. The Herald was sung by John Noble. The Princess of Monte Carlo was sung by Ursula Connors and spoken by Jane Wenham. The Baroness von Krakenfeld was sung by Jean Alistair and spoken by Margaret Gordon. Julia Jellicoe was played by Laura Sarti. Lisa was sung by Elizabeth Robinson and spoken by Diana Olson. Other members of Ernest Dummkopf's theatrical company were sung by Valerie Heath Davis, Christine Parker, Gloria Jennings, and Shirley Minty, and spoken by Eva Haddon and Jane Wenham. The Chamberlains, Nobles, Actors, and Actresses were the John McCarthy Singers. You also heard the BBC Concert Orchestra, leader Arthur Levins. The performance was conducted by Stanford Robinson and produced by Michael Moores.
Jean Alistair and Laura Sarti, broadcast by permission of the Glyndebourne Festival Opera.